I want to thank Alan Shati for the opportunity to share God's word with you guys tonight. And as always, there's such a special spot in my heart for San Diego. I can see you guys, or at least I think I can. But it's always a privilege to be able to share God's word, because there's really nothing more valuable that we can share with each other, because within God's word are all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I'm especially excited about what I have to share with you tonight, because I've seen it change so many situations and so many lives. And it's the subject of praise. And so we'll start out with a little quiz. I don't want anybody to get sweaty palms or anything. This will be easy for you to take. Now, if you answer any question yes, I just want you to hold up a finger. And you don't have to let anybody see. You can keep it to yourself. But if you answer yes to any of these questions, just be sure to hold up a finger. So, I hope you're ready. Here's the quiz. Have you ever had a financial situation in your life that seemed so daunting that it was all you could think about? That's question number one. Question number two. Have you ever been so concerned about someone in your life, a spouse, child, parent, friend, that you were unable to concentrate on the work you needed to do? Question number three. Have you ever been so bogged down with negative emotions, sadness, grief, anger, dread, etc.? You name the negative emotion, that you were unable to calm your mind to make even a simple decision. And the last question is, have you ever been awake at night thinking about something that was bothering you, and you were not able to quiet your mind so that you could get some necessary sleep? Now, if you answer yes to any of these questions, I want to say to you, congratulations. You're a part of the human race that has not been living under a rock. In other words, these challenges come to all of us because we live in this world where there is mental pressure. The Lord Jesus Christ even told us that we would experience tribulation or mental pressure. Let's look at John chapter 16. John 16, and in verse 33, we read, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That word tribulation is the Greek word thlipsis, and it is a pressing or a pressing together or pressure. And it can also refer to oppression or affliction, tribulation, distress, or straits. And that word peace, in contrast to tribulation, is a quietness, a state of calm, an absence of war and disharmony. So what does the Lord say will be the answer to mental pressure? He says it will be his peace. Now, I remember when I was a child, I was a student at a Roman Catholic school in Chicago. And at the end of the Mass, we would sing this song, and the words were, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you, not for us alone, but that we might give it again to all men." It sounded great, But I would leave Mass and quickly become embroiled once again in whatever turmoil had me all tied up in knots before church started that day. It sounded so sweet, but how the heck was I supposed to get this peace that the Lord talked about? Many years later, after I'd been introduced to the Bible, I found this verse that gave me a clue. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26. So Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Now that sounds like the remedy for mental pressure that we need, is to keep our mind stayed on God, and then he will keep us in perfect peace. So now the question is, how do we keep our minds stayed on God? Figure that out, and we've got it made. Here's one way that I know to keep our minds stayed on God. Something that we have all heard about, and it is called praise. So now we're going to look at some of the things that praise does. And by the time we're done, everybody is going to be excited about praising the Lord as much as they possibly can, especially when faced with mental pressure. So the first thing that I'll mention that praise does is it stills the enemy. Let's look at Psalm 8. Turn to Psalm 8. In verse 2 of Psalm 8, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." So now the Lord Jesus Christ quotes this verse in Matthew 21. And let's see how he spoke this same verse. Matthew 21, verse 16. Give you a minute to get there. And said unto him, "Hearest thou what these say?" And Jesus saith unto them, "Yea, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise." So perfected praise, thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. Praise will still the enemy and the avenger. Now, what do we know that is perfected praise? It's speaking in tongues. When we speak in tongues, 1 Corinthians talks about this. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 17. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. It says, "For thou verily givest thanks well." Speaking in tongues is giving thanks well. But we're going to come back to this. We'll talk about speaking in tongues a little later on. But just keep in mind that speaking in tongues is perfect praise. Now, I saw a little short video on YouTube a couple of days ago. And I don't know why this popped up, except God wanted me to share it with you guys. And it was the story of a little guy. He looked like maybe he was 9 or 10 years old. And he was kidnapped. He was kidnapped by another man who I think had been involved in child trafficking. And the little boy was in the back seat of the car. And this man was driving. They were the only two in the car, and the child could not get out of the car. And so what he did was he started singing praise to God. And the man kept telling him to be quiet, but the little boy wouldn't stop. And he was singing that song, "How Great Is Our God? How great is our God? How great is our God?" And he just kept singing it over and over and over. And he wouldn't stop in spite of the man's demands that he stop singing this song. After 3 hours, the man pulled over and put the boy out of the car. He couldn't stand to hear the praise to God, or at least the spirit that was controlling him. So there was a case in point right there. This little boy, all he knew was to sing this song he had learned in church, "How Great Is Our God." Okay, the next thing we'll look at is praise relieves heaviness. And how many people have been challenged by depression or oppression or just the heaviness of grief and sadness? Well, Isaiah chapter 61 tells us what the remedy is for the heaviness. So Isaiah 61, and we'll look at verse 3. It says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I can attest to just how effective praise is when you have a heavy heart. It is an amazing cure for heaviness. Okay, the next thing we'll look at is praise is something that should be done regularly and continually. Now, there's a record in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 that we'll look at. Well, 1 Chronicles 16. And this is a record of David making an offering and then what he did after making that offering. And this was, well, we'll just read it, okay? 1 Chronicles 16, verse 1. "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both men and women, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." He appointed Levites or the priests to thank and praise the Lord of Israel. That was not something that was handled casually. David appointed men to do this. Flip over to 1 Chronicles chapter 23. And we'll start in verse 1. "So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel, with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with instruments which I made," said David, "to praise therewith." 4,000 people were set to praise God. David saw and he understood that praise was important. Okay, the next thing is that praise moves God to act on our behalf. And there's a record in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that I'd like to read. Many of you might be familiar with this record, but it's one of my favorite records in the Word, where there's someone who is in a state of distress and doesn't know what to do. And they go to God, and praise is the solution. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 1, it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Jehoshaphat got some bad news, okay? And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." So here Jehoshaphat is reminding God of what God had said. "And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. So did the Lord tell him, oh, don't worry about it, I got this? Yes and no. He said, yes, this battle is mine. The Lord will take care of the battle. But they still had to go down and face the enemy. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. So he's reminding them, believe what the Lord has told us. Because here they are on the battleground. You know, this is where the rubber meets the road. And he's telling them, don't be deceived by what you see. Believe what God said. And when he had consulted with the people, this is what he did. He appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. So here's the army marching out to confront this great multitude that's coming down to Jehoshaphat, and they send the singers first before the military men. And verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They didn't have to even raise a sword. They went out praising God, and God took care of the rest. I just love that record, because God said the battle was his. The battle was his. He took care of it. Okay, the next thing. Praise acknowledges that God is the source of all good in our lives. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, we'll start in verse 20. This is Moses speaking, and he says, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave and swear by his name. He is thy praise, and he is thy God that hath done for thee these great and terrible things which thine eyes have seen. They're recounting the things that God had done for them since leaving Egypt. Let's turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. So 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Again, this is David speaking. Verse 10, we'll start in verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great. and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Notice the things that David said. These are words of praise. Let's look at Psalm 28. Psalm 28. And we'll start in verse 6. 28:6. It says, "Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and my song, and with my song will I praise him." So here he's saying, I prayed to God, and he heard me. I prayed to God and he heard me and he answered me. And so what is my response? David said, my response is that I will sing a song of praise. David was, remember, a man after God's own heart. David offered much praise to God. Let's flip back to Psalm 21. The next characteristic, I guess, of praise is that praise honors God. And in Psalm 21, verse 13, we read, "Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power." Flip over to Psalm 50. Psalm 50, and we'll start in verse 23, or we'll read verse 23. "Whoso offereth praise glorifies me, and to him that ordered his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." That praise glorifies God. It speaks of his magnificent power. And, I mean, when we're really honest about it, there is absolutely nothing that we would have or be able to do without God having already made it available to us. It's so easy to look around the world or around even our home and think, oh, so-and-so made that, or so-and-so made that, or even the card that Alan Schottky received. Without God working to provide the materials, I mean, God provided the materials for everything that we see, and then he works within the hearts of believers to do things, to bless us. If God just took an hour off, the world would come to a screeching halt. But he is so faithful and so loving, and he has provided for us everything that we have ever had that was worth having. It came from God. And so we will never run out of things to praise him for. And the last characteristic I'll look at is praise humbles us. Praise humbles us. Flip back to Psalm 22. And we'll read verse 22. It says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." So praise can be done privately, and it can be done in the midst of the congregation, in a big fellowship. We praise God as exuberantly there as we do in our own private prayer life. Skip down to verse 25. It says, "My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. We're to offer our prayers to God and cast our cares on him. Then rather than continuing to stew about whatever it was we just gave to God, we begin to praise him. We praise him for all the things he has done and that he will do. And praise him for bringing about the solution to your situation or prayer request. I often think and do, I think about, what would I do if what I just prayed for came to pass? Would I dance? Would I sing? What would I do? What would I do? How would I respond if what I just prayed for came to pass right now? And that's what I do. I praise God as if it has already happened. We praise God before we see the answer because we know he's faithful. We know he promised that he would take care of us. He told us he would perfect that which concerns us. So we just go ahead and praise him right now. Praise him as if you already have your answer. Let's take, for example, you really need a new car. Your car is running on fumes and held together by bubble gum and scotch tape. You really need to have a new car. Well, praise God as if the car you need was delivered today after you make your request known to God. You tell him that you need a car, and then you thank him as if it has already happened because you know he's faithful. You know he will supply your need. So why not praise him today when the need has not yet materialized for you, but you know there's a car out there that's already been manufactured and it's for you and God will bring it to you. So praise him for it. It's a great principle to praise God before you see the answer because that's what faith does. Faith doesn't wait to see and then give thanks. Faith will give thanks because you are convinced, you are fully persuaded that God will make good on what he promised. And he promised that he would supply all of your need. Now, I had mentioned speaking in tongues earlier, and I'd like to make a comment about speaking in tongues now in the context of praising God. When we are in challenging situations, and actually at all other times too, speaking in tongues is perfect prayer. And I encourage speaking in tongues as much as possible. But in situations where you are having trouble controlling your mind, you can be speaking in tongues, but speaking in tongues bypasses your understanding. And so you can still have a mind that is bogged down with the problem, even though you are speaking in tongues. And therefore, you will not have perfect peace. Controlling your mind requires that you control every thought that is coming into your mind. And what better thoughts to put in there than thoughts about the goodness of God and not all that he's done for us in Christ. So if you are in a situation where you are having trouble controlling your mind and you've been speaking in tongues, but you still don't have that inner peace, then it's time to open your mouth and start singing to the Lord or speaking praise. Pick one of the latter Psalms that are all Psalms of praise. I think 145 through 150 are all psalms of praise. If you can't even think of words to say because your mind is so consumed, then read what has been written that are psalms of praise. Or maybe all you can get out is, I praise you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God, that you are good, that you are powerful, that you are, you get the message? You need to open your mouth and make your mind control what comes out of your mouth rather than dwelling on the thoughts that are bombarding you. And those words of praise will still the avenger. It will still the enemy so that those thoughts will stop coming. So just keep that in mind, that when you feel like speaking in tongues isn't helping, it's because speaking in tongues bypasses our understanding. And when our minds are bogged down, we have to control our thoughts. And what better way to control our thoughts than by speaking words of praise? Praise should be done aloud whenever possible, using the voice, as we've read in many of the verses tonight. The voice is used. You can sing, you can dance, you can recite psalms of praise, but totally engage your mind in speaking about God, and you won't be able to give your feelings or your situation any attention. As you continue to keep your mind stayed on God, His perfect peace will begin to flow. And that is such an amazing experience. And I'll tell you, I think it was maybe a couple of weeks ago, I got a phone call from a young mother who was very distressed and discouraging because she had been involved in a very long battle with illness with one of her children. And she called to say that the doctor's report, which had been getting better over time, had suddenly become discouraging. The doctors had reported that whatever numbers they were looking at were going in the wrong direction again. And if you've ever been involved in a situation where you're helping someone to receive their healing, sometimes it can go on for a while and it can get very wearying. Well, this mom was weary. And so what I told her is, I said, okay, the doctors have said what they need to say, but now what you need to do is put that out of your mind. Just go praise God. You and your child, go praise God. Sing, dance, laugh, praise God. And that is all you do. You don't need to run the doctor's words through your mind anymore. You praise God. Praise God that your child is healed. Praise God for His goodness that you have a child. Praise God that you know Him and you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we could go on for days with things that you can praise God about. And you know what happened? That medical situation turned around very, very quickly. And the next phone call I came, we shed tears of joy together. Praise is what we have to handle impossible situations. We don't have to supply what's required to change those situations. All we need to do is praise the one who has the power to change those situations. So put on your favorite praise song and put it on repeat and sing along. You don't have to be able to sing like Whitney Houston for the praise to be effective. God loves you. God loves you. So just sing with your whole heart. That's the important part. You sing with your whole heart. You speak with your whole heart. And if when you first start, you know, because it says that praise is a sacrifice, there will be times when it's the last thing you feel like doing. But just start doing it. And as you do, it is amazing what will begin to happen in your heart and your mind. And there are times you'll have to do it day after day because whatever the situation is keeps coming back and wants you to take it back from God and for you to worry and for you to don't do it. Just praise God. Just praise God. I'll tell you my favorite song to put on repeat is the Hallelujah Chorus by Handel, because the words come from God's word, and the word hallelujah means praise the Lord. There have been times in my life when I've had to put that on repeat, and I would listen to it hours a day, and I would sing along, and every time I sang hallelujah, I was saying praise the Lord. And I can't begin to tell you how many situations have turned around and changed for me, or a heaviness left my heart, because that's where I put my focus. Not on how I felt or what had just happened that was concerning, or it's praise God, praise the Lord. Because you know what, you guys? We know how the story ends. We know where we're headed. We know that one day the Lord's going to come back. And the Lord tells us that the affliction that we have is light affliction. That's that word thalipsis again. But it's light pressure compared to the weight of glory that God has for us. So even if we have to deal with situations that just really hurt our heart, and we've all had them, we know that all of this is only temporary. So if nothing else, we can praise God that we know that one day the Lord is coming back and we're going to have new bodies and perfectly renewed minds, and we'll be with each other forever and forever and forever, and it will never end. And so we always have something that we can praise God about. In everything, give thanks. And when we do that, it will relieve the mental pressure so that we can have the peace of God within. So when the going gets tough, God doesn't tell us, toughen up. He tells us to keep our mind stayed on Him, and He will do the heavy lifting. Now, I asked Alan Schottie if they would play the Hallelujah Chorus for you guys now. And please include that in the recording of the teaching, because it might turn out to be that someday somebody listens to this teaching and that song will be what makes the difference between them being in mental pressure or having God's peace. So God bless you guys. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. And I really pray that you actively begin to praise God whenever something troubles your mind. You pray, you give it to God, and then begin to praise. And I would love for you to share with me, if you ever feel so inspired, how those situations turn around for you. So God bless you guys. I love you, and thank you for allowing me to share with you tonight.